the basketball game at 8. Also, the Cowboys play tonight, and they're going to Chicago. So I'd much rather be – it's going to be cold here and in Chicago, but the weather inside Hilton Coliseum will be a lot better than we'll be at Soldier Field. So
if the Cowboys don't get this one, you might as well just write off the season. Am I right?
Yeah, this is tough, man. I mean, this is one of those deals. They got to get back on track. And they got to get back on track in a big way, and they're gonna have to do it in a tough place to play with some bad elements, I think. And the thing is Chicago is as talented as anybody out there. I mean, they're as talented, if not more talented, offensively than the Eagles team they faced. You'd hate for Chicago to come out hot and finally put some things together against you when the Cowboys really need to get back on track, because they need this one desperately, because I believe they got Philly again next week.
Oh boy, yeah. Where is that game? And not at Dallas. I want to blow your mind for just a moment, if I could, fellas. Guess who has the same number of receptions as Dez Bryant does this year?
JJ
Watt.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Ooh.
Wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. And I'm not saying that he's as good as Dez Bryant, but I'm just saying that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. So Droopy Dog's got him a number one target. His name's Alshon Jeffrey, former South Carolina Gamecock. So, anywho, we'll see.
Yeah, but playing opposite Brandon Marshall must be nice.
Speaking of Marshalls, let's get back to Arkansas for a minute here, Clint.
Okay.
What about Corliss Marshall? I'm deeply saddened about this whole turn of events.
Yeah, man, that's a crying shame. I mean, have they announced whether it's official or not that he's done?
He and a few other guys.
Is it career or just for this year?
No, he's done.
He's done. He's done. Expelled?
They said in the paper today that Coach Bielema said that they are. And Maddie, if you've got sound on that, we can run some of that. I know Headband pulled some of that down.
Yeah, I've got it.
I don't know if he talked about the players that are leaving, but they are leaving, and there's a few other guys, and they said they would help them find new homes for football. So I think there was a lineman and a couple other people, and I don't remember exactly who was all in there.
Here's Bielema's comments on commitment to Arkansas, maybe.
Okay, sure, let's
do
that.
The part that's fun for me is, I took this opportunity without really anybody knowing about it or hearing about it. My professional life is one that I've always felt needs to stay in my own mind and with my wife and my family, and I'm not one of those coaches that gets my names involved or anything like that. When I started talking to Arkansas, I told them, hey, if I hear my name comes in a way other than my own release, then I'm probably going to be out of this conversation. And that's just how I've always operated. But I think the part that is fun for me right now is the building that we've done is really becoming apparent. When I'm in all these little FBOs all over the country, the people that come up to me and talk to me about what we're doing at Arkansas and building and support Jeff has given us is second to none. I can't tell you how excited I am for next year, and obviously my commitment to Arkansas in the long term.
See, that's him talking about his own commitment, because it also came up yesterday that he was potentially in the running for Nebraska, and apparently they had to settle for Mike Riley instead.
Everybody wants Coach B.
I never believed that was even a real possibility. Clint?
I mean, I would never put it past, anybody, anything. I mean, money at this point in time, these coaches, man, they're like they're like that third year, fourth year free agent guy that has got a short window of about 4 or 5 years that he's going to be as hot as he's ever been. And the method of the madness is how big of a come up can he get over those 4 or 5 years? I mean, Bo Pelini goes and wins 9 games and gets fired and pay gets cut clearly, and you just got to strike while the iron's hot, man. So if there's somebody out there that thought he had done enough at Arkansas to deserve a big enough raise to draw him out of there, it would not surprise me one bit. But as it relates to Arkansas and the progress they've made, it would be extremely difficult to leave this year. Last year, after 1 year, something sexier comes along, probably.
Sure.
Big year next year, and maybe you just come up a little bit short, even if it was a 10-win season, and you just come up a little bit short against the big dogs. You feel like you topped out. I could see it. But, after year one, or maybe after year four, possibly, but not two. Two and three would be tough.
I've got the story here now, and three players leaving Arkansas will transfer this offseason, according to Brett Bielema. yesterday. Corliss Marshall among them. Also cornerback Will Hines, who had some moments. And Grady Olison, whose name we haven't really talked much about, and I guess that's part of the reason he's leaving. He just hasn't had a lot of opportunities to play. He is a junior, so he will have a chance if he goes down.
Who was that again?
Grady Olison.
Yep.
And then Will Hines, the defensive back, is going to leave as well. Redshirted this season after starting seven games as a sophomore. And suggested Hines should redshirt to get everything in order, get more in line with what we're asking people to do. I don't know if that entails classroom, weight room, or otherwise. But he is also going to be leaving. So those are three pretty talented guys, I think, that would be welcomed in somewhere else if they can abide by whatever protocols are in place at the new location.
Yeah, you'd think so, man. I was high on Will Hines. I thought he's a bigger bodied guy that could be a impact player at Arkansas. But I think when you see some of these young guys that have come in and clearly emerged as starters and impact players, I think that probably some guys can handle that pressure and want that competition and embrace that competition, and some of them run from it. And I think probably for Olison, he just needs a new start. He was a Petrino guy. He just needs a new start. Probably doesn't fit Bielema's mold of exactly how he wants his offensive linemen to be built and function, and so he probably just needs a new start. But those other two guys clearly got off track somewhere, and if somebody can get them where they need to be and get them acting right, boy, they are two serious weapons, I would have to believe, for anybody out there, really.
Hey, speaking of some new players, I don't think it's going to happen, but why Arkansas was listed as a Braxton Miller possibility, and like I said, I don't see it happening. But there was some reason why that conversation was being had. Do you think it's going to happen, and why do you think there was connection with him, and whether it's Coach Bielema in Arkansas?
Well, I think, you know, Bielema recruited him, I think, out of high school, and okay. I even read a report somewhere where I think he at one point talked about committing to Bielema at Wisconsin after the Russell Wilson deal, or during the Russell Wilson I guess that was going on when he was coming out. But so I think that's probably where it stems from. But then I my take on it is, you really, when you do something like that, or if you're, say you're a recruit coming out, in my opinion, as a quarterback, you eliminate some schools by where they're at, the conferences they play in, then you eliminate some schools by the offenses they run, you eliminate some schools by the fact that they've got a starter that's been there and established, and you're obviously not going to upseat him, so you really dwindle that down to a handful of teams, and you got to think there's not very many of them out there, like Arkansas that probably will have a competition this offseason at quarterback. Could use the name recognition. I think as far as it relates to the player, I think he would benefit greatly by being in a pro-style offense. He's proven he can run the spread at a high level, and he was up for the Heisman. He can't do any better than what he's already done in the spread. So it would be a huge plus for him to have the opportunity to get into a pro-style offense and do some of the heavy play-action stuff and learn all that ball handling and the mechanics of running that offense. As it relates to him going to the next level, I think it would be huge for him to be able to do that. We're seeing these guys, Pat, RG3, Cam Newton's, all these guys that are Tim Tebow, and whether they've made money or not, or they were early draft picks or not, or they, regardless of what they've done at the next level, the fact that they came from a spread offense has been a big, big topic in football, in the NFL over the last couple of years. And so I got to believe that him getting in a pro-style offense and succeeding would help him personally, whether it's at Arkansas or somewhere else. I just think Arkansas would be a good fit. And you talk about a recruiting, golly, boy, that would be big for Arkansas's recruiting. You get a name like that coming here, and all of a sudden you've perked the ears of guys coast to coast, I would think.
Clint Cerner back in the Fury Electric studio with Matty T, Pat Bradley, Justin Acri here. I'm sorry, Justin Acri,
Hall of Famer.
Yep, thank you. Here in Ames, nice. Iowa, at the Jacobson Building on the Iowa State campus. Tonight we'll be in Hilton Coliseum, and for a lot of you, we'll be watching it on ESPN2 tonight. 7:30 pregame on The Buzz, and we will, of course, be talking a lot about it tomorrow. We'll have postgame sound from both coaches and maybe a couple of players as well. And I know Pat has his fingers crossed. I'm not necessarily rooting against Arkansas, but I'm not going to be very passionately rooting for them tonight either. I just want
to
see
either way.
Game.
Listen, for you,
I'm gonna feel good either way.
It's just gonna be fun. Yeah. You'll be able to enjoy the atmosphere.
Well, I love hey, respect.
When was the last time this happened, Acre? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said something about excited about Thursday night, and I said, yeah, that's right. The Hogs play Thursday night. I got a big game Thursday night. First big game of the year. And they said, yeah, oh, and the Cowboys played. When was the last time that the Razorbacks were the star attraction? The Razorback basketball team's the star attraction on a Thursday night above the Cowboys-Chicago Bears game.
I was just telling Pat the other day, I was walking down the hall in the building, and for the first time, I think, ever since I've been at the Buzz, I had three different people say something to me about the basketball team. And I mean, I just think people are finally getting back on board with, man, they got something good happening here. So it's good to see. I mean, certainly if you were around Arkansas basketball during the prime years and, of course, covered Pat. I mean, I can remember I was telling him I was probably at, well, you were probably playing quarterback the next day, Clint, maybe. But you guys had crossover years, right?
Yeah, I took this guy into my wing, basically, when he showed up as a little – almost like a child to the University of Arkansas.
It would have been 98, I think.
I spit Clint out a man.
I don't know if it was 98 or 99.
Yeah, I got oceanfront property in Arizona, too, Chief.
Your last year was 98?
99. Okay. And his last year.
99, 2000?
No, my last year was
98, 99.
98, 99. His last year was 99, 2000.
Oh, it was right around there. I was in Bud Walton Arena on a Friday night basketball game, so it would have been early in this, early in the basketball season. And then there was a football game in Fayetteville the next day. And, I mean, they pitched to me for a live shot in the arena.
And you were like,
I can't hear anything. It was so raucous and insane in there. It was so awesome. When the butt is full and rocking, it is so much fun.
You know what it must have been?
It was either 98 or 99. You might have already been gone. I don't know if they sold out a game after you left, though, so who knows.
Yeah, they probably didn't sell a game out after the Hall of Famer left.
No, I mean, why would they? It's like, is Pat still there? No, forget it. I ain't going.
No, I'm trying to look at when it possibly would have been.
Yeah, look that up. Clint, I do want to talk to you about bowl games while Pat is researching there. We heard from the coaches a few weeks ago that, hey, it's really critical that we get a chance to go to a bowl game, have those extra practice days. Talk to me about what happens during bowl practices and what kinds of things you guys worked on and how much was work versus rest. And, I mean, it's such a big gap between games.
Yeah, I think as it depends on where you're at. You know, I think that the Brandon Allens of the world. I mean, it's a time. Brandon Allen, Jonathan Williams, that big offensive line. You know, takes some time off. You know, get your legs back. Really go into bowl preparations in a couple of weeks, 100%. And even then, so it's we're gonna get you 10 or 15 snaps. We just want to be crisp. We just want to throw some routes, get our core offense installed that we're going to run against these guys, against whoever it may be. Let's polish up some mistakes that we made. But then you turn the page, and with these young guys from day one, the first practice you get, you're out there getting after it. You know, it's you're finding out, you know, who's a man and who isn't and who's going to be the next guy to transfer. And as coaches also got to clean up the locker room, you know, clean up these guys like you just mentioned, the guys that can't get on board. So there's a lot that can go on with the fact that, you know, for another month these coaches can touch these players and have access to these players versus them out running the streets back at their home during Christmas break and all that kind of thing. So it just depends on where you're at, Justin. I mean, it's unbelievably valuable to a team, period, but to a team in Arkansas's position right now, it's absolutely huge. I mean, I think you take some guys, backup quarterback, for instance. I think you open that thing wide open and just say, hey, we're going to have 2 weeks of a competition here and see who can play the game. Somebody better let them, somebody better man up and take this position and run this football team. It's your team for 2 weeks and, you know, we need to see what you got. And then at the end of the day, you figure out, you know, that helps you with your quarterback situation next year as far as what you're going to do with Ty Story and Brandon Allen and all this other jive. So, and that has to happen at every position. I mean, it has to happen at receiver. Those young guys, Kendrick Edwards of the world, at receiver, JoJo Robinson, those guys are fixing to get some serious quality reps as college receivers, not as freshmen coming in. They've been through it. Now the expectations are different. Let's see what they can do.
What about for games? Once you get to the game time, is it just like any other game, or do you look at bowl games differently? I mean, you played in some pretty memorable games when you think about, you know, the Capital One Bowl. It had been a while since you guys had been to a game that high profile. It had been such a great season, and And then the next year, of course, by beating Texas, that was such a memorable game as well. But once you get into it, is it just like another game, or is it does it feel a little different when you get in at a remote site? And
well, it definitely feels different, man, initially. And it really, for me, it was because of the long layoff, man. When you don't do anything for a month, particularly as a quarterback, when you don't do anything in a month as far as live action goes, and then all of a sudden you get out there and there's live bullets flying all over your face, in front of your face, and you're trying to read defenses and throw the ball over the top of it. It takes a few reps to get back used to that, and unfortunately those are valuable reps and important reps as it relates to the game. So it's definitely different. The neutral site's different. Even though I tell you, man, I don't really remember the Citrus Bowl much. I obviously remember the game itself, but I don't remember the surroundings much. But the Cotton Bowl, man, I just remember how overwhelming the support was from Arkansas fans. So if this bowl game is one of those that's a local game, I mean, for Arkansas, yeah, you've had a long layoff. Yeah, it's a neutral site. But when you get off that bus and you realize there's 30,000-40,000 in Dallas, or 30,000-40,000 in Shreveport or Memphis, wherever, extra red outfits, you know, you get pretty stoked about it. So that layoff hurts a little bit, but depending on where it's at, man, it can be a real advantage for Arkansas.
Knowing all the possibilities, where would you want to go as a fan this year?
I want to go to Shreveport and I want to play Miami. I think that'd be awesome. I think that'd be big.
That'd be great. I love it. We owe them a couple of butt kickings, don't we?
Back in the day? Yeah. I'm not excited about Memphis. I don't care who you bring in. I'm not real excited about it. You know, Shreveport, I've heard VTech maybe, but that's as awful a opponent as we can find. I'm not interested in them at all. You know,
I just think Texas makes too much sense for everybody. Both programs. I know we look at it.
I'd like to see them play A&M though.
I actually, when I went down to that Texans game at Mallett's second start when he got hurt, one of the guys that we hung out with quite a bit was the head of the Texas Bowl, and I mean he's the final decision maker as far as I could tell, and he was really really high on an Arkansas Texas matchup, but that was before the loss to Missouri. And one of the things he did say that it's up really an SEC issue with whether it's A&M or Texas. They really don't want that to happen, and depending on how they feel about that in the coming weeks was going to determine which direction they went.
The SEC is the final word, right? In terms of where teams assign.
Bowl games make impassioned plays. The league gets to decide, I guess the schools sort of go with whatever they're told, basically. I'm looking at the ACC here, since you mentioned Miami, Clemson. You know, Florida State everybody knows about, but Clemson's 9-3, Louisville's 9-3, and they're in the same division. Then Boston College and North Carolina State are both bowl eligible as well at 7-5. In the Coastal Division, Georgia Tech, of course, is leading the way with 10-2. Then Duke's 9-3. Duke's had a back-to-back good years. North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Miami, and Vautech, all 6-6.
Pittsburgh's at 6-6?
Can you believe that?
Yikes.
So they've got a ton of bowl eligible teams too, including all but Virginia in that division. So, interesting.
What are you going to do? Hey, Clint.
Yeah, man.
Good talking to you, buddy.
Always good. Always good. Congratulations, my man. I can't believe it took them this long to get you in. What in the hell are they thinking?
Hey, do you think I'm giving you enough heads up, a little notice now that maybe you could actually be at this one?
When is it?
February.
February.
February. I mean, talk to me in late January. We'll get it done, bub.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'll be there, man. You want me to introduce you? You want me to see if they let me introduce you?
Yeah, you know, I actually bought an extra seat, and I left it empty.
Get the hell out of here. You ain't never bought an extra seat for nobody. You've never spent an extra dime for anybody. I bet you got issued gear on right now. I saw your Denali from 82 sitting in the parking lot out here.
That's a testament.
You've been in the same apartment for 15 years. Hey, you ain't fooling nobody, son.
He's like Ricky Bobby. He just leaves that ticket hoping one day.
One day Clint's going to show up.
He's going to die with $10 million, man. Put me in that wheel, Chief.
How much money did you make? About $5 million. How much money you got? $4,999,000.
You guys know me. Listen, I wear shoes until the soles actually disintegrate.
Hey, Acre, you're like his story. Burlesworth, man. We were playing ball. Brandon Burlesworth. We'd always go in his dorm room and jack with his stuff because he was real bad OCD or whatever. So he'd move it back, like to the point where he wouldn't even get finished a sentence. He'd move the box back to where I moved it from. We went in there one night, was piddling through some of his stuff, messing with him, and we flipped open a shoebox. He had every per diem envelope from the time he started at Arkansas, the first year. Didn't even open it. The money in it and everything. Every in a shoebox side by side. That's how bad it's going to be. Pat's going to have every Buzz paycheck in one account.
I've heard a lot of per diem stories from Pat. He got pretty excited about his per diem.
That, and I actually had this. I can remember when we went, you know, freshman year, SEC tournament, NCAA tournament. So you get a nice chunk of change for each of them. I still had all the envelopes that had my name on them well into my third and fourth year in college.
Huh.
Straight cash, homie.
I love it.
That's a good story. Clint, I appreciate the time, man. We'll catch you when you get back in town.
You guys be good.
All right, see you, buddy.
Later, buddy.
Clint Sterner. I got some Keith Lee Service coming live fan feedback. Key 3 coming up. And
what a terror Sterner was, huh?
I love it.
I mean, this guy just went around terrorizing people in the dorm room?
When you're a team leader, you got to be a little bit of a troublemaker. I like it.
I can remember the kinds of things he used to do.
Stir your pot, baby. Stir the pot.
God. Thank God he's calmed down a little bit, Sterner. I mean, he is a little bit local businessman and everything. Come on, Sterner. You know what I think you may need is maybe get yourself a little checkup. Thanks to the Arkansas Heart Hospital. They are going to have a Keep the Beat screening. $99.95.